Football Science Show. This is the Beat 97.9 FM. Good morning. Welcome to the Inkaba Science Show. My name is Olorun Toba Yusuf. Thank you for joining us on the show today. Now, the Inkaba Science Show will help you bring experts into the studio to answer all science-related questions you might have. The show is about science, for science. So if you're a science enthusiast, this is the show for you. Come your way every Monday, 9 o'clock till 9:45. And every Thursday, we'll bring you a repeat broadcast of each episode. So today, we'll be looking at the science of internal combustion engine. How is an engine able to convert chemical energy in fuel into kinetic energy that runs the engine, and what determines the type of fuel that is suitable for an engine? So our expert will be talking about the science of this process today. Our guest in the studio is Dr. Lumide Towoju, who is a senior lecturer at the Mechanical Engineering Department at Lead City University here in Ibadan. Doctor, good to have you on the show.
Good morning and thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's start off with the process of how an energy is able to convert the chemical energy in fuel into kinetic energy, which in turn would produce the energy that the engine will use to function, carry out whatever function it has, be it a car, whatever engine or machine it might be. Yes.
Okay. Well, the first thing we should know is on the principle of conservation of energy. That energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be transformed from one form to another. And that is what happens inside the internal combustion engine, whereby the fuel is converted into kinetic energy in the wheels. It's not just straightforward as that. There are different processes that are involved.
We'll look at those processes one after the other. Yes.
Yes, sir. So the first one is the chemical reaction of the fuel, which we call combustion. A technical term for burning, that is, the fuel burns with air to produce heat and light. And as we know, the simple things, when we burn our firewood, we get two things. We get the heat and we see the light. If we burn inside the darkness, that means the place can be lit up by burning of the fuel. That's the same thing that happens inside the internal combustion engine. When we burn the fuel, we get the heat, which we refer to as thermal energy. It is this energy that will now convert into other forms. Now, this also works on some basic principles. We have an ideal equation, which the students of science will know. P is equal to rho RT. This time around, by the time we burn the fuel, there will always be a temperature increase. Now, since there's a temperature increase, and P is equal to rho RT, that means there will also be a pressure increase. Getting the pressure increase there, that one will take us back to the Charles' law, whereby pressure and temperature are directly proportional. Increase in temperature will lead to an increase in pressure. The increase in pressure is what we need inside the combustion chamber.
Okay.
I will break down that later.
Okay.
Because inside the engine, we always know the engine, there's the engine block that houses the cylinder. Inside that cylinder, we have a piston, which is connected with what we call a connecting rod. It is connected to the crankshaft, and it is through that crankshaft that we get a rotary motion. What we have inside the engine is a reciprocating one for the ones that is common to us. We also have other types of engines. Something like the rotary engine, which is generally referred to as the Wankel engine. That one is not popularly being used, but the one we know is the reciprocating engine. There's a mechanism which we call the slider crank mechanism. That's what converts the reciprocating motion into a rotary form of motion. So now, as I said earlier, when we have that pressure, the increase in pressure, we now move back to our Boyle's law. For the Boyle's law, volume and pressure are inversely proportional. Increase in pressure means a reduction in volume. So in order to have to ease out the pressure, that means the volume has to increase to reduce the pressure. And it is the volume increase that will drive the piston. And that's what drives the piston down, giving us the motion that can now be converted into the rotary motion that we get at our wheels. Now, before we can just get that one now, we have the motion that is transferred to the crankshaft. An engine reciprocates around, let's say, 3,000 revolutions per minute. Do we need that at our wheels? No. That would be suicidal if we get something like that. So that means there's something that needs to reduce the speed to what we need at the wheels. And that's through our transmission. The transmission consists series of gears that tends to reduce the speed to what is required at the wheels.
Okay, so you started off with the face of, how energy is neither created nor destroyed, and then energy is generated from the fuel that leads to, you know, the functioning of the engine. And then you mentioned that there are different types of engine, but the one you're starting with is the one we're familiar with, yes, which is, of course, the reciprocatory engine. Is that the same engine common with the cars that we see all around us?
Yes, that's the common engine we see around us.
Okay.
Yes. Now, the reciprocating engine is also of two types. You always hear about the petrol engine and the diesel engine. The petrol engine is the spark ignition engine, while the diesel engine is the compression ignition engine. They are similar engines, but their process of combustion, fuel addition, is what differs.
Okay.
Now, for the petrol engine, the one we call the spark ignition engine, fuel and air.
Like the car engine.
Yes. Okay. But the diesel engine can also be found in cars,
but it's
not popular in Nigeria yet. But we see it in most of our heavy trucks,
the trailers, the articulated vehicles. Yes.
So now, the fuel and air is inducted inside the engine, the combustion chamber, for the case of the spark ignition engine. And the combustion is initiated with a spark, which is generated from the spark plug. And that's what leads to the combustion of the fuel. Why, for the case of the compression ignition engine, only air is inducted into the combustion chamber. It is compressed, and before it gets to what we call the top dead center, I will give a simple explanation about that briefly.
Okay.
The fuel is injected inside the combustion chamber, and because of the high temperature which has been created due to the compression, the fuel ignites and burns, releasing energy. Now, I just made mention of what the top dead center. In an engine, in the engine cylinder, there are two dead ends. The one we call the top dead center and the one we call the bottom dead center.
Okay.
The lowest point that the piston can reach inside the cylinder is the bottom dead center, while the highest point it can reach is the top dead center. Now, in the process of moving from the top dead center to the bottom dead center, that's what we call a stroke. Now, the engine we have in most of our cars are what we call the four-stroke engine, because we should know that we can also classify engine based on the number of strokes. We have the four-stroke engine and we also have the two-stroke engine. Now, the four-stroke engine is what is popular in our cars, while in our motorbike, we see the two-stroke engine.
Okay.
Now, for the four-stroke engine, it comprises of four stages. What we call induction.
So you're still breaking down the reciprocatory engine. That's what you're still breaking down.
Yes.
So there seem to be several, subsets now. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So we have what we call the induction stroke. That's when we breathe in air or the mixture of fuel and air. There's what we call the compression stroke. That's when we compress it so that we can now combust to give us the energy. And there's what we call the power stroke or expansion stroke. That's after the burning of the fuel. That's what leads to the power stroke. And there's what we call the exhaust stroke. That's for the first stroke. And for the two stroke, is basically the compression and the expansion, whereby the process of induction and exhaust is incorporated in the two others, which is compression and expansion.
Okay. So you've broken down the reciprocatory engine into what we can relate to, and giving us an insight into how the fuel is converted into energy in this respective engine. So let's now look at other types of engine and what determines the kind of fuel that they use.
Now, I've said it earlier that we have the rotary type
and
we have the reciprocating type.
Okay.
The rotary type is not in use due to some disadvantages, basically overheating and the problem of sealing.
Okay.
So, and that one will lead to high fuel
consumption.
Mm. And also overheating that can damage the engine parts, because we know there's something that sets the limit at which the temperature can reach, and that's what we call the meteorological limit. Once it exceeds that, that means we'll experience melting, and there will always be a failure.
Okay.
Now, for the type of fuel, since we've said something about the petrol engine and also the diesel engine, what determines the choice of fuel? Based on the engine design, for the spark ignition engine, there's what we call the octane rating. We need a high octane number fuel for a spark ignition engine. And when we say octane rating, that's a term that refers to the ability of the fuel to withstand detonation during compression. And what do we mean by that? That during the process of compressing the fuel to raise the temperature, the fuel should not self-ignite. That's basically about the octane rating. Because if it should self-ignite, there will always be a problem knocking.
Oh, is that what happens to the other type of engine that you say, you know, is prone to overheating? Does it happen when the...
No,
I don't know if because you said the other type is, you know, it's prone to overheating. Is it a situation where, you know, the heat is too much and the fuel could self-ignite, creating that kind of condition in the engine?
Yes, that's for detonation. For the other one, the reason for the overheating is because greater part of that engine is exposed to high temperature.
Okay.
But for the, in the case of a reciprocating engine, the engine is exposed to high temperature for only a fraction of a second. Like now, when we say something is revolving at 3,000 revolutions per minute, that means if we divide by 60, that's like 50 revolutions per second. So that means if it's moving like 50 revolutions per second and we have four strokes like that, four strokes will be, we have the complete four strokes in two revolutions. So that means we have power stroke in just one time in 25 times it's revolving. So that means we can see it's only for a fraction that the engine part will be exposed to that high temperature. So that's why we are not usually concerned about the high heat and stuff for the reciprocating engine.
Okay.
But for the rotary one, the zone process is such that the engine will be exposed to the hot combustion gases for a greater part during the process.
So that's why we don't use it as much as the reciprocating engine.
And the way it rotates, there has to be some seal, and the seal can also fail because of the high temperature.
Okay, let's continue the process now. You are explaining the process of ensuring that while it's being converted, the fuel does not overheat, pre-ignite. Yes.
So we don't need the pre-ignition, because that can lead to what we call high turbulence that will lead to what we call knocking. That's increased pressure.
Okay, that's what they say when they say your engine has knocked.
Yes,
that's what happens.
Yes, when it's overheats. But there are different reasons for knocking, but that one is just a part.
Okay, well, we'll get into, you know, what can go wrong in that one. Yeah,
so now for the petrol engine, I said that one is determined based on the octane rating of the fuel. So petrol, now what we refer to as gasoline, others call it PMS,
okay,
the premium motor spirit.
Yes,
they have high octane rating. But why for the case of diesel has low octane rating, and that's why the fuel for compression ignition engine is characterized based on what we call the cetane number, and that's the ability of the fuel to self-ignite, the ease of it to ignite. And that's why when we combust diesel inside the compression ignition engine, what we'll do is, after we've gotten to a high compression ratio, we'll drop fine droplets of diesel, which we ignite. We don't need a spark ignition engine at most times, although sometimes maybe during cold weather we might need a heater, but on normal condition, it will self-ignite and burn through. Now, we should know that when in the process of combustion of the fuel, is not everything in the cylinder that starts combustion at the same time. The combustion for the spark ignition engine, it starts at the tip of the spark plug and travels down. That's why If we have heat spots, we can have heat spots inside the cylinder too. That's maybe there are some things that have caused some metal debris or some wear. Those points will be called heat points, and they can cause ignition even before the flame front travels to that point. Mm. We don't want that. That one can also cause what we call self-ignition, which is bad for the working of an engine.
Mm. All right, it's the Inkaba Science Show. We're looking at the science of internal combustion engine, the process of converting the chemical energy in fuel into kinetic energy that runs the engine, and what determines the type of fuel that is suitable for an engine. Our guest this morning is Dr. Lumide Toju, senior lecturer at Mechanical Engineering at Lisset University here in Ibadan. We'll take a short break. When we get back, we'll continue with the show. Don't go away.
Dad, why does the sun follow me everywhere I go?
I think it's actually just everywhere you go.
What do you mean, Daddy?
My son. Well, science explains how the Earth revolves around the sun.
Interesting, Dad. I thought the Earth is a stationary object. How does it revolve around the sun?
I don't have an accurate answer for this, but I do know where to find answers. The Inkaba Science Show on the Beat 97.9 FM, Ibadan.
Okay, Daddy.
Son, where are you off to?
I'm off to tell my friends to tune in to the Inkaba Science Show every Monday on the Beat 97.9 FM Ibadan by 9 a.m. and also catch the repeat broadcast on Thursday by 5 p.m. We can't miss it!
The Inkaba Science Show, powered by Inkaba Biotech, Africa's genomics company.
This is the Inkaba Science Show.
This is the Inkaba Science Show right here on the Beat 97.9 FM. Welcome back. Remember, the show comes your way every Monday, 9 o'clock till 9:45. Every Thursday, we bring you a repeat broadcast of each episode. On the show, we answer all science-related questions for you by bringing experts in the studio. And this morning, we're looking at the science of internal combustion engine, the process of converting the energy in fuel into kinetic energy that runs the engine. Also, looking at what determines the type of fuel suitable for an engine. Our expert is Dr. Lumide Toju, senior lecturer of mechanical engineering at Lisset University here in Ibadan. You can be a part of the show actually by calling 0700 1000 979. If you have any questions for our guests in the studio, 0700 1000 979. You can also drop your comment on WhatsApp 0818 888 9979, 0818 888 9979, 0700 1000 979. Okay, so before we went on that break, you were explaining what happens within an engine that prevents the fuel from preheating that can cause the engine to knock. So I know that there are processes that must be followed before this energy can be converted into kinetic energy that then runs the engine. And also, if there are processes to be followed, that means there could be disruption. Take us through some of the disruption that might happen that can cause damage to the engine or disrupt the process of this conversion.
Yes. Okay. Like now, we've said something about what determines the type of fuel that can be used.
Mm.
If we should pour petrol in a diesel engine, there will be a problem. I've said something about the octane rating and also about the cetane number. Putting petrol in a diesel engine will lead to a very big problem. Now, one, there's what we call viscosity. The viscosity of petrol is different from the viscosity of diesel. Why diesel?
What is viscosity?
That's the ease of flow of fuel.
Okay.
Why for diesel, it is more viscous than petrol, and also does the function of lubricating part of the engine. If we should put petrol there, that means the friction will be high, leading to wear, and also the process of compressing the petrol will lead to dropping petrol inside compressed air can lead to uncontrolled combustion that can shatter the engine because of increase in pressure. Also, putting diesel in a petrol engine will also be a problem Because if you have diesel there and we have to ignite it with the spark ignition, even the process of compressing it will lead to ignition before igniting, which will always cause a problem. Now, we've been saying something about the car, we've been talking mainly about the engine. One thing we should know is that the engine is the heart, or what we call the soul of the car. It's just one of the several systems that make up the car. Now, we have close to like 9 systems. We have the fuel system, which is what supply the engine with the fuel. Just we have, when we say the heart, something supplies our heart, which is the blood. So that means the fuel is the blood of the engine.
Okay.
We have the transmission system, which I've said something about earlier, and that is what does what help us to adjust so that we get the required speed or rotation at the wheels. We have our exhaust system. We have the emission system, which is also very important, because now we've been talking about climate change, trying to stay below the 1.5 degree increase, the Celsius degree increment in temperature, average temperature. If we have high emission, then that means there's no way we can achieve that. So we have the emission system that serves to reduce the emission coming out from the car. We have the brake system. We know that one is very critical. We need something to stop the car whenever we need to, or else there will always be a problem. We have the suspension system. We sit down in our car, we are comfortable. Despite the fact that we drive on some rough roads, we are not feeling it. That's the work of the suspension and the steering system. We have to control our car. We have to maybe to drift towards one side, to turn towards another side. We make use of our steering. That forms the suspension and the steering system. So there are many systems, but the engine is one of it, and is the art, is what provides the motion that we need. Because when we talk about cars or any automobile, what we need is to move from one point to another. And that's what brings about the kinetic energy which we can tap at our wheels.
Okay, so let's now look at the processes one after the other. Now, the process of this conversion, I think you mentioned earlier, but we didn't really go in depth into it. There is the intake, there's the compression, and then the combustion, as well as the exhaust. So let's start with the intake to break it down properly now.
Okay. Now, for the intake, let me first of all talk about the spark ignition engine.
Okay.
For the intake, air and fuel is inducted inside the engine cylinder. That's what we call the intake. Now, that one will now take us to what we call the second stage, which is the compression. This, what we call it charge, the air and fuel intake, we call it charge. This charge is now compressed by the movement of the engine. And we should not see something that before an engine can start, we need to crank it. That is, we supply electrical energy to start to turn the engine. And if it's the normal generators that we know, we also have the internal combustion engine. We have to wind some. The process of winding or pulling, is to start the rotation of the engine, so that we have the intake, we have the compression, then we get the power before the engine can now start running itself. Now, so we have the compression, whereby the air charge is compressed to a high pressure. Then just before it reaches the top dead center, spark is introduced. And that's what causes the ignition. It's just as if you are lighting up a matchstick. It will light up the fuel, the air charge, and the burning will start. And now, the burning now will lead to a pressure increase. And the pressure increase will now lead to the depression of the piston. And that's what causes the expansion. And it's the expansion is the power stroke there. That's when we draw our energy. Then, we now have the last stroke, which we call the exhaust, whereby the product of combustion is released. Now, we'll be wondering, we have just one power for the first stroke. Now, we have just one power stroke. What keeps the engine rotating? And that's why we make use of what we call the flywheel. The flywheel is what conserves the energy and releases it. So the size of the flywheel will also be dependent on the size of the energy of the engine, because it functions by the process of inertia, whereby it continues to rotate. So now, once we have the power stroke, which drives the engine, the flywheel will cause the engine to continue to rotate so that we can have the intake again, we have the compression before we get to the power stroke, which releases the energy again. This one stores the extra, and the processes continue. Why for the compression ignition engine? I said it earlier that only air is inducted into the engine. Now, after the induction, now we have the compression. The air is compressed, and there's one different.
Is it the kind difference of energy that you mentioned, the motorcycle, the popular motorcycle engine?
No, it's still, we still find it still in the car. Compression ignition engine.
Okay.
It's still the four stroke now. Okay. Now, by the time we compress it, we have it compressed, the temperature will increase. Then, fine droplets of diesel will be metered into the combustion chamber.
Okay.
On getting inside the combustion chamber, because of the high temperature of the air, it ignites and the process of combustion takes place, leading to increased pressure, which is also our power stroke, which forces the piston down, and we have the power stroke for it too. Then the last stroke, which is also the exhaust stroke there.
So in this case, the air is taken alone, but in the first one is both the air and the fuel.
And the fuel, yes. So that's the main difference between the compression ignition and the spark ignition engine.
Mm. Okay, you mentioned earlier that some things might happen that might lead to the engine knocking, but because as you were explaining it, you said we'll get into it later, and then some kind of things that might, some kind of disruption that might happen that could trigger overheating of the engine as well. Yes.
Yes. Now, when we are I was saying something about different systems too.
Yes.
Maybe I didn't mention the cooling system. We have the cooling system.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
We have our radiator and everything, the cooling lines that supply water to run through the engine to cool it. Also through the transmission, if it's automatic transmission, to cool it. Now, overheating can lead to knocking sometimes, and also the using of inappropriate fuels. Because when you have to combust it at the normal temperature and you get your normal pressure that will need the working pressure, and you are getting something which is out of the way, there will always be a problem. Now, overheating will lead to some hot spots on the engine cylinder, and those hot spots will always can also cause what we call pre-ignition later on, and the process of having pre-ignition will lead to increase in pressure, uncontrolled increase in pressure, that will cause the sound that we can hear, the what we call the knocking sound, when the engine is about giving way, it becomes audible.
Yeah,
we hear that sound. That's the knocking sound caused by increased pressure, uncontrolled pressure. So that one can lead to the knocking of the engine, basically. And also, when we are not using the right grade of fuel. When we are supposed to have the ignition to travel at a normal rate, and then before reaching it, there's what we call the time delay and every delay period. If now the fuel is igniting and combusting before the flame front reaches it, that will also cause chaotic pressure, which can lead to knocking in the engines.
All right, 0700 10979. You can drop your comment on WhatsApp, 0818 888 9979. 0818 888 9979. That's a WhatsApp number, or the phone number 0700 10979. So let's now look at, you mentioned climate change earlier, and I know that there are concerns across the world now about level of carbon emission. In fact, different countries are trying to move away from fuel-driven cars, setting target for themselves to start using electric cars. So let's look at the disadvantage of internal combustion engine and the dangers it poses to the environment. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that question.
Yes.
Well, countries are.
But before you answer that question, let's take this call. Hello. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes. I can hear you. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
Your
name,
sir?
My name is Biodun, calling you from Samona.
All right, Biodun from Samona, go ahead.
Yeah, please, I want to the engineer to explain. I'm hearing a sound in my car when I'm accelerating on a smooth road. I'll hear a very loud sound,
okay,
like an aeroplane kind of sound.
Ah.
Very loud.
Very loud.
So, and it's coming from the right side of the passenger side.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm still trying to understand what it is.
Okay, thank you very much, Beldon from Samonda. I'm sure our expert would hopefully answer your question. Thank you. You want to quickly answer the question?
Well,
it says it's very loud, like an aeroplane. Yes.
Because many things can be responsible for that. And the first thing will be to drive in into a mechanic workshop so that they can test drive and listen.
Because maybe you answer everything together. Maybe we should take this one as well. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir. Your name, where are you calling from?
My name is Oji. I'm calling from Asubo.
Go ahead, sir.
When the car has, I have an Audi truck that has twin bubbles, bi-bubbles. What is the essence of the bi-bubble, please?
What is the essence of what?
Bubble charger, the car.
The trouble, okay. Okay, thank you. Yes, so two questions now. Maybe you should complete the first one and then answer this one. Yeah.
Yes, as I was saying that because many things could be responsible for the sound and it will need an expert to know where the sound is really coming from. Is it from the engine? Is it from the suspension system? So that one can now zero it on it.
Mm.
And they can also go in for a scan to go so that one can get the cause of the problem straight instead of doing a sort of merry-go-round.
Okay, so the second one doesn't understand the function of the turbo charger.
The turbo charger is to, when we say charger, is to get the pressure increase a bit, so you get so that the work we'll be doing to increase the power that we can get from it, so it can pre-charge it before getting inside the cylinder. So basically that's that one, because when it gets inside the cylinder, you have to compress to get to that pressure.
Okay.
But you can pre-charge before it gets in there.
Okay, so going back to our question before the calls came in, the environmental issues attached to this. Yes.
Well, when you were asking, it's relative. Some will always go for the electric cars and we have the petrol cars. Sure, there's no way you burn fossil fuels that you won't have emission. You always have the carbon stuff, which is already affecting us. We can see the level of rains we are having now. We can see the temperature spikes in some European
wildfires, flooding. Yes.
So we always get it. But there is a fundamental question we need to ask: that what will be the source of the electricity to power the engine? Now, because let's say in a country like ours now,
that's an interesting angle.
In a country like ours now,
yes,
that you have to burn your diesel to get electricity, you now use that electricity that you've gotten from diesel generator to charge your car, and you now assume that it is clean. That one is a simple question. It can never be clean, because one, you've already burnt the diesel that you don't want to burn in your car, and you know that there's what we call efficiency. Most of these are internal combustion engines. They are most of them are under below 40% efficient. We lose most of the other energy in form of heat, that cooling and every other thing. Now, you have that one, and also your electric car too can never be 100% efficient. So that means you have to first of all burn the diesel or the petrol that you don't want to burn in your car, which is not 100% efficient,
and still create the same emission.
Yeah. But if we can generate our electricity from pure renewable sources that is carbon free, then we can now say, oh, this one produces lesser emission. So that's in the case of electric vehicles and fossil fuel vehicles, we have to look at what we call the life cycle assessment, that is from production. What amount of CO2 or what amount of greenhouse gases do you release till when it gets to its end of life? Maybe like after 200,000 kilometers, 300,000 kilometers. Then again, research is now drifting towards what we call the synthetic fuel. The synthetic fuel can provide a future for us, because when we talk about synthetic fuel, it is carbon neutral. There's what we call carbon capture now, carbon capture technology, whereby the CO2 in the atmosphere will be captured. It is this CO2 that will now be synthetically processed to produce fuel. So that means you can tap from the CO2 in the atmosphere
and convert it
to fuel, which can also drive our cars. And we won't need any form of modification. The engine, the internal combustion engine that we have now, can still be on ground. We continue to use it because let's imagine if we should discard all the internal combustion engines that we have now and move straight to electric vehicles. I'm not saying electric vehicles are not good,
yes,
but I'm just trying to create to give us another point why the internal
combustion engine. I also brought it up because you mentioned the climate change angle the other time, 1.5 degrees Celsius, industrial level, yes.
But for countries that have clean electricity, electric cars they are very okay.
Mm.
But if we can get towards what we call the synthetic fuel, now the synthetic fuel have been produced in labs. We have some that are not popularly used when we have something we call the DME, the dimethyl ethers and the likes. But now, what we need now is to get the synthetic fuel produced in commercial quantities. Once we have it, that one will change many things because the fuel we'll be using will be carbon neutral. It's the CO2 that we are trapping from the air that we are converting to fuel again. So it will be what we call carbon neutral. It's not producing additional CO2 into the atmosphere.
All right, 0700-1000-979. That's the number to call. You can drop your comment on WhatsApp, 0818-888-9979. You made mention of the cooling system earlier because as the chemical energy is being converted into kinetic energy, heat will be produced and everything. So how does the cooling system work, and does it in any way try to reduce the kind of carbon that will be emitted when the engine is functioning?
Okay. Now when let me start from where you stopped, that in any way reduce the carbon it is emitting. Let me go straight to compression ignition engine. Now carbon is not reduced. The CO2, we want complete combustion. And complete combustion will give us the CO2. Incomplete combustion will give us the CO. Now for the compression ignition engine, one major disadvantage that we don't like, that what we don't need from it, is what we call the NOx. That's nitrogen oxides.
Okay.
Which is also dangerous to an environment. And that one is produced at very high temperature. You need increased temperature to get the NOx. So if you can cool the engine such that it does not attain that temperature, that means we have reduced NOx. Now, how does the cooling system work? Combustion of fossil fuels can reach up to 1,000 degrees centigrade. And the metallurgical limit of the materials being used, most of the times, is set around 600 degrees centigrade. We don't want our metals to melt in the process of using them. Mm. So we have to cool them, cool the parts. That means for our cooling system, we have the radiator, we have the lines that leads into the engine, whereby the water flows in, comes back. Then we have the fan that blows it away from it. Now, from the cooling system, the water will be pumped from the radiator into our engine. And in the process of moving through the engine, it extracts the heat on the engine part. And by the time it gets back to the radiator, this heat is discarded to the surrounding air. And this is also helped with the help of the blowing fan.
Mm.
So that one helps in reducing the temperature of the engine. So if there's any problem with the radiator, let's say it's leaking, or the water pump is faulty, there will always be an overheat. And in most cases, they will say, you have to check your gasket so that the thing is not burnt.
Yeah.
And if it can also lead to knocking of the engine, that the engine can pack off totally.
Finally, yeah.
So the cooling system is very, very essential there too.
So does the conversion and the cooling, do they happen? Do the conversion and the cooling, do they happen simultaneously? Like as the fuel or the air is being taken in from those four stages you mentioned, the intake, the compression and all of those things, does it happen simultaneously with the cooling?
Yes. As the engine is producing its own power, the cooling process is also taking place. It has to be simultaneously.
And then since we have distinction based on the type of engine in the process of the conversion of the fuel to kinetic energy, is there distinction as well in terms of how the cooling system work depending on the type of energy or type of engine as well?
Well, basically the compression ignition engine, they are bulky engines. They are bigger because of the pressure they need to withstand. So that means and that means you need more volume of your coolant to flow through the engine. And the bigger the engine, the more will be the required volume of coolant for it. So the size of the engine too will determine the size of the cooling system. And that's why when we see the one they rate 2.4 liter engine and the 1.8 liter engine, we see that the radiator size are different. Even one can have
all
a single
those big
fan.
Trucks. Yeah.
Yes, the radiator fans are different. The radiator size are different. The fans too. Some might have one, some might have two, depending on the engine size. So the volume of coolant required is also dependent on the engine size.
Okay, so before we go, let's look at once again the conditions required for an internal combustion engine to operate effectively based on those processes you mentioned.
Well, the correct fuel. We need to ensure that we are using the correct fuel, because using poorly graded fuel will always lead to problem. We can spoil the engine. So once we use the correct grade of fuel, the right grade of fuel, then that means our engines can perform optimally.
Just the correct fuel, that's it. That's all you need for your engine to perform optimally.
Yes, then we need regular maintenance, servicing. Because one thing that can always keep something working is maintaining it properly. Doing your servicing at the right time. Because in the engine, so you have your engine oil, you have every other thing. The engine.
How often do you have to do the servicing?
Well, that one has to. We can follow the manufacturer's
advice, yeah.
Or also our mechanic advice. Like now, because when we check the manufacturer's advice, when they design cars for European market and let's say American market, and we know that the conditions that are there are different from here.
Yeah.
We have dusty roads around. We have
bumpy roads.
So that means if they specify like 6 months for them, then we should know 3-4 months we should do our own here, because we are not being subjected to the same environment. And that one will always also affect the performance of the engine.
Thank you very much, Dr. Towoju, for being a part of the Inkaba Science Show today. Dr. Towoju is a lecturer at the Department of Mechanical Engineering at Lisiti University here in Ibadan. We've been talking about the science of internal combustion engine, how an engine is able to convert chemical energy into kinetic energy that runs the engine, and what determines the type of fuel that is suitable for an engine. Thank you very much once again for being a part of the show. Join us on Thursday for a repeat broadcast of this episode, and then join us next Monday for another edition of the Inkaba Science Show right here on the Beat.